Oh, wow. Okay, you ready? Good morning. This is Julie Fedorchak. We're gathered for a special meeting of the Public Service Commission today, May 24th. It's 11:10 a.m., and I want to call this meeting to order. Gathered here in the commission meeting room are myself and Commissioner Brian Kalk, and participating by phone is Commissioner Randy Christman. Hi, Randy. Can you hear us?
Good morning. I hear you fine.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks for making adjustments to your schedule to participate by phone, and we'll try to be efficient with our time here. I don't have any opening comments, Commissioner Kalk.
No, just appreciate setting a special meeting up. These items need to move along, especially the one for the hearing coming up that's been continued. And so I appreciate everyone's effort putting this together because it's certainly important to keep moving the ball on these things.
Okay. Excellent. Randy?
My own, not a comment, but a question. Is Alana in the room?
Yes.
She is.
Okay, because when we get to RC1, I have a motion to make, but I'll probably turn to her for an explanation so I don't misstate something legally.
Okay. She'll be prepped with the mic by then. Okay. Thank you. All right. I want to thank staff. We made some last-minute additions to the agenda to get on some items that are of a sensitive nature, and so that's the reason for us being a little bit late this morning in starting the meeting, but I think it's important to get some of the these matters, the clock ticking on some things. So I will just go ahead and get started with my first motion. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Sakakawea Pipeline Company, LLC, 16-inch crude oil pipeline, McKinsey County siting application, case number PU-15-744.
Second.
So on November of 20th, Sakakawea Pipeline filed application for this 13-mile, 16-inch diameter pipeline and associated facilities for a crude oil pipeline in McKenzie County. The 13-mile-long pipeline identified in Sakakawea's November 20th filing was supplemented with a 2-mile-long pipeline identified in their February 10th filing, and we had the hearing on this matter April 19th in Watford City. Sakakawea testified that it's a joint business venture between Paradigm Energy Partners, Phillips 66, and Gray Wolf Midstream LLC. The project will be constructed by Paradigm, owned by Sakakawea, and operated by Phillips 66. The project consists of a total of approximately 15 miles of 16-inch diameter steel pipeline and associated facilities in McKenzie County. It will include a 13-mile-long segment that will originate at a service site near Johnson's Corner, North Dakota, and will terminate at Paradigm's Keene Crude Oil Terminal, located approximately 2.5 miles south of Keene, North Dakota. The project will also include a 2-mile-long segment that will originate at the service site near Johnson's Corner and will terminate at an interconnection with Dakota Access Pipeline. This project will be constructed to allow for bidirectional flows of crude oil. The maximum capacity of the project will be 100,000 barrels per day with an expected initial capacity of 75,000 barrels per day. And the project is expected to cost $22.8 million. There were a number of agencies consulted in the whole application process, the Air Force, North Dakota Parks and Rec, North Dakota Department of Health, the State Water Commission, and the North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office, as well as McKenzie County Planning and Zoning. All of the comments and feedback from these agencies have been incorporated into this order. The SHPO, State Historic Preservation Office, concurred with the no significant sites affected recommendation for the project. There are no exclusion areas present within the survey area and no avoidance areas present in the survey area. Sakakawea has agreed to a number of steps to mitigate the impact of the project as indicated by their certification relating to order provisions. These cover construction, reclamation, and operations of the line. They testified that they have a supervisory control and data acquisition system that will monitor the pressure, flow, and temp continuously at a control control center located in Oklahoma. They will contract with a number of different agencies for emergency spill response. They are also members of the Sakakawea Area Spill Response Company. And they will have emergency personnel trained and stationed at the Keene Oil Terminal and the Palermo Rail Terminal. They're also members of the North Dakota One Call Notification System. Sakakawea also testified that 100% of all the field welds will be inspected. They will bore across all wetlands and water bodies. And they will consult with methods described in North Dakota State University publication called Successful Reclamation of Lands Disturbed by Oil and Gas Development and Infrastructure Construction in Reclaiming the Project. They also testified that no construction associated with the project is expected to occur during the winter months. There was an intervener in this project. The Laborers District Council of Minnesota and North Dakota intervened in this project, and in their brief, they requested that the commission require Sakakawea to provide additional documentation concerning the contractor to be selected for the project. They specifically asked for a list of past projects of similar size completed by the contractor, information that demonstrates the contractor's successful right-of-way restoration of past projects, the contractor's access to skilled labor, their plans relating to trench construction, and their plans for X-ray inspection of the pipeline welds. We've already addressed pipeline welds. They've obligated to or said that they will inspect 100% of the welds. And so that was one of the issues addressed and covered by the company as relating to the Laborers District concerns. However, the commission's authority in citing the project under North Dakota Century Code Chapter 4922 does not extend to contractor selection for the project construction. The standards for construction, restoration, and operation are included in this order and certification document and have been agreed to by Sakakawea. The commission uses third-party construction inspectors to monitor construction and reclamation and ensure that the pipeline is completed and restored according to the commission's order. The company is legally bound to meet these requirements. So the commission finds that these standards and provisions are appropriate to ensure proper construction and reclamation and therefore finds no reason to defer action on the applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit or to require further documentation from Sakakawea regarding their contractor selection. This project is going to connect with the previously approved Sakakawea project that the commission has cited, and in total will result in about 90 miles extending from the Dakota Access Pipeline project to Enbridge and having a maximum capacity between 100,000 barrels per day and 200,000 barrels per day of crude oil. So we've given this a thorough review. I had lots of opportunity for public hearing and comment, and I think it's appropriate now with all the obligations that the company has made for the construction reclamation operation to approve this new project.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Okay, the second order on my portfolio is relating to Dakota Access. I move the commission adopt the supplemental findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Dakota Access LLC, Dakota Access Pipeline Project Siting Application Case Number PU-14-842.
Second.
On April 5th, Dakota Access filed an application to amend Certificate of Corridor Compatibility Number 179 and Route Permit Number 191 that the Commission had approved on January 20th of this year. This relates to the 358-mile, up to 30-inch diameter crude oil pipeline running through seven North Dakota counties and carrying up to more than 500,000 barrels per day of oil exporting out of North Dakota. The application for the reroutes sought commission approval to modify portions of the previously designated corridor and route at 15 locations in Montrell, Williams, McKenzie, and Dunn counties. The application indicates that the reroutes are necessary in order to accommodate landowner preference, to better protect the environment and cultural resources, and to minimize impacts. We issued a notice of filings and opportunity for hearing on April 20th with a deadline for May 19th for comments or requests for a hearing. No comments or requests for a hearing on this on these reroutes was received. On May 23rd, the commission requested additional information, so this was yesterday, concerning one proposed reroute location in Dunn County, identified in Dakota Access's April 19th, 2016 filing as reroute location number 50. So our staff has been through all the reroutes and all the associated materials. The company has certified that no exclusion or avoidance areas are impacted by the reroutes, with the exception of the reroute location number 50. There's been no landowner or public opposition to the reroutes. They have all the required waivers necessary for these reroutes and easements, and they will have SHPO concurrence that no historic sites are impacted prior to construction. So the commission has gone through the necessary process for approving this. These reroutes, and the company is underway in construction. They began construction around May 15th, and so I think it's appropriate to approve these reroutes and allow them to make these changes to the original route, many of which were requested by the landowners on which they're traveling. So that concludes my comments on the Dakota Access today.
Right, we have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion?
I would just maybe add that I appreciate the company and staff working through these refinements, and Julie's testimony was right on, because the company has an approved route. They could just go build it. But as they continue to refine the process, working with landowners that maybe at first didn't quite grasp exactly where the pipeline was going to go, they've talked to them, they make those refinements, we follow the process, we approve it. This is not uncommon. When we do major transmission lines, we continue to have refinements, and I think it's the right thing to do. Because, as I stated, they have an approved route. They could just build it, but they continue to take the time and the energy to make it just a little bit better for the landowners. And so I appreciate them doing the work on it.
I agree. And in this case, you know, some of the reroutes were longer than what the footprint law allows us to change without going through the public comment and opportunity for hearing process. And so, you know, we expedited things as quickly as we could, just because we want to work with the companies so that they are encouraged to make these changes that the landowners are requesting and that the cultural resources protection requires, et cetera. So I think that in this case, this probably isn't the last of the reroutes. Maybe it is, but on a line of this length and a project that is as complicated as this, there may be more, and we'll take them as they come and work through them appropriately and make sure that they meet all the requirements under law and get a decision back to the company as quickly as we can.
Is there any further discussion?
I just want to remind you that I'm recused from this case.
Thanks, Randy.
All right. Any further discussion? Since none, I'll proceed with the roll call vote. Commissioner Fedorchak?
Aye.
Commissioner Kalk?
Aye.
Motion is approved.
Okay. Let's see. The next motion relates to the first part of the line on Sakakawea that we referenced in JF number one. I move the commission issue a notice of filings and opportunity for hearing in Sakakawea Pipeline Company, LLC, 16-inch crude oil pipeline, McKenzie and Montrell, citing application case number PU-15-114.
Second.
This is the Sakakawea line that the commission approved on January 5th. It's approximately 70 miles of 16-inch diameter crude oil pipeline and associated facilities in McKenzie and Montrell counties, North Dakota. The application seeks commission approval to modify a portion of the previously designated corridor and route located in Montreal County. And so, again, the reroutes, we just received this last week. This was one that we wanted to get on the agenda as quickly as possible because we know the company is under construction and eager to accommodate these landowner requests. In some instances, the reroutes go outside of the existing corridor, and they're longer in length than what the law requires us allows us to approve without any public notice. So we are starting the public notice process, a notice of opportunity for hearing with this order, and we'll allow that to begin as quickly as possible and get a decision to the company as quickly as we can so that their construction isn't delayed.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion?
Well, I should mention that the comments and requests for hearing must be received by June 23rd of 2016.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion is approved.
Thank you, Daryl. All right, so then we move over to Randy's RC1.
Okay, I move the commission acknowledge the hearing continuance based on the May 20, 2016 stipulation for continuance filed in case number RC-15-755, Falkirk Mining Company, revision number 27 for permit NAFK-9503 approval.
Second. Did you want to make any comments about this, Randy?
Well, I would kind of turn it over to Alana for the legal background on how we're able to do this continuance and thereby avert the timeline that is the 30-day timeline that is normally the case here.
This is Alana, and because both parties, both the landowner and the company, agreed to continue, there is no, you know, legal problem from continuing it because those who are protected by the requirement that you have to have the hearing in 30 days have agreed that they want to have it later because they're trying to work out their differences. So there is a continuance filed that states that in this case.
Okay. Thanks, Juan, and I have nothing further to add.
Is there any further discussion?
I just appreciate staff and everyone working this through because this is not uncommon. The 30-day timeline, it's what the law says, so we schedule these very quickly. But it seems like most of these, they do request continuances because all different sides want a little bit more time to work this out, but it does make sure that the opportunity was there for them to have a quick hearing. But I do get a little concerned with some of these continuances that we get resolution, that we let them for some period of time, you grant the continuance, but we want to make sure we keep this process moving forward. So just continue to watch that.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion is approved.
Okay, RC2. I move the commission publish notice of the 2016-2017 telecommunications relay service surcharge in the daily newspapers of general circulation in the state of North Dakota. Public Service Commission, Telecommunications Relay Service, miscellaneous case number PU-16-202.
Second.
In 1993, Governor Schaefer signed legislation that established a program to provide specialized telecommunications services and equipment to the communications impaired. The Relay Services Program is funded by an access line surcharge paid by the customers of local exchange companies and radio communication service providers. The Relay Services Program is administered by the Information Technology Department of North Dakota, and before June 1st of each year, the PSC calculates the amount of the surcharge based on cost data and other information provided by ITD. We've calculated the 2016-2017 surcharge to be included in the bills to customers is 4 cents per access line per month, and that is the same amount that it has been for quite some time. I'm not sure the exact time, but for a long while.
Here we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
Okay. Thank you, Randy. That concludes our regular agenda. I don't have any announcements, so we'll just open up for questions.
Can you grab a mic, Mike?
Randy. Does that cross any waterways?
Does not.
It does not.
Well, not any major ones. It might cross some wetlands and, you know, small water, but it doesn't cross any major rivers.
Right, and so the three pipelines together will form a link between Enbridge's oil terminal in Stanley and Dakota Access.
Correct.
That's what's the, you know, efficiency advantage of that? I mean, what...
Well, the company stated, and we did talk to them about this, this will be one of the only new lines crossing the river. You know, it'll be probably the first one constructed. The Bakken link has been proposed, but they've still been awaiting their permit for crossing. So this provides a link across the Lakes Kakawea / Missouri River. And it's bi-directional, so they can go either way, and just offers them the flexibility to get the oil where their customers want it to go.
And when you say cross, it goes underneath.
Yes, it is bored. Forget the depth of the bore proposed for that Sakakawea pipeline. Do you recall offhand, Julie, the original pipeline? Yeah, we can double-check that. 35 feet comes to mind, but I don't remember offhand.
Correct. Do you know if they've started construction on the leg under the lake?
I just looked at the status report as of like the end of April, and it did not look like there was any work done on the lake yet. Most of the work is done on the west side of the lake, and a little bit has been done on the east side of the lake, but it does not appear as if they've started under the crossing yet. Anything else? I think Randy might be in an airport. So.
Yeah, you said Dakota Access has started construction May 15th.
Yes, they have started construction.
Do you know where they started?
I've gotten word that they were out by Fort Rice. This is based on media reports. I don't, and I know that our third-party construction inspector is out there monitoring their work, but they filed a notice with us that they were going to start as of May 15th.
We've got some construction reports in. They're working up in that area. We have those if you want to look at them.
From Dakota Access?
Yeah, we got some that they did some initial work on it.
Okay. They aren't in the docket yet, so. This morning. Okay. Anything else? All right. Well, that concludes the question, and we have a couple items on discussion. Randy, who would you like to sign for you?
Charlene.
All right. And then we have a couple items for scheduling that we just wanted to talk to real briefly here. The